Chapter 76, How Judas Lost His Soul. The history of Judas presents the sad ending of a life that might have been honored of God. Had Judas died before his last journey to Jerusalem, he would have been regarded as worthy of a place among the 12, one who would be greatly missed. The abhorrence which has followed him through the centuries would not have existed. But his character was laid open to the world as a warning to all who should betray sacred trusts. Since the feast at the house of Simon, Judas had had opportunity to reflect on the deed he had covenanted to perform, but his purpose was unchanged. For the price of a slave, he sold the Lord of glory. Judas had naturally a strong love for money, but he had not always been corrupt enough to do such a deed as this. He had fostered the spirit of avarice until it had overbalanced his love for Christ. Through one vice, he gave himself to Satan, to be driven to any lengths in sin. Judas had joined the disciples when multitudes were following Christ. He witnessed the Savior's mighty works in healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead. He recognized the teaching of Jesus as superior to all that he had ever heard. He felt a desire to be changed in character and hoped to experience this through connecting himself with Jesus. The Savior did not repulse Judas. He gave him a place among the 12 and endowed him with power to heal the sick and cast out devils. But Judas did not surrender himself fully to Christ. He did not give up his worldly ambition or his love of money. He did not bring himself under the divine molding, but cultivated a disposition to criticize and accuse. Judas had great influence over the disciples. He had a high opinion of his own qualifications and looked on his brethren as greatly inferior to him. Judas flattered himself that the church would often be brought into embarrassment if it were not for his ability as a manager. In his own estimation, he was an honor to the cause, and as such always represented himself. Christ placed him where he would have an opportunity to see and correct his weakness of character, but Judas indulged his covetous disposition. The small sums that came into his hands were a continual temptation. When he did a little service for Christ, he paid himself out of this meager fund. In his own eyes, these pretexts served to excuse his action. But in God's sight, he was a thief. Judas had marked out a line on which he expected Christ to work. He had planned that John the Baptist should be delivered from prison, but John was left to be beheaded. And Jesus, instead of avenging the death of John, retired into a country place. Judas wanted more aggressive warfare. He thought that if Jesus would not prevent the disciples from carrying out their schemes, the work would be more successful. He saw the Jewish leaders' challenge unheeded when they demanded from Christ a sign from heaven. His heart was open to disbelief, and the enemy supplied thoughts of rebellion. Why did Jesus predict trial and persecution for himself and his disciples? Were his hopes for a high place in the kingdom to be disappointed? Working against Christ. Judas was continually advancing the idea that Christ would reign as king in Jerusalem. At the miracle of the loaves, it was he who set on foot the project to take Christ by force and make him king. His hopes were high, his disappointment bitter. Christ's discourse concerning the bread of life was the turning point. He saw Christ offering spiritual rather than worldly good. He thought he could see that Jesus would have no honor and could bestow no high position on his followers. He determined not to unite himself so closely to Christ, but that he could draw away. He would watch. And he did watch. From that time, he expressed doubts that confused the disciples. He introduced controversies and texts of Scripture that had no connection with the truths Christ was presenting. These texts, separated from their connection, perplexed the disciples and increased the discouragement pressing upon them. Yet Judas appeared conscientious. Thus, in a very religious and apparently wise way, he was attaching to Jesus' words a meaning he had not conveyed. His suggestions were constantly exciting ambitious desire for temporal preferment. The dissension as to which should be greatest was generally excited by Judas. When Jesus presented to the rich young ruler the condition of discipleship, Judas thought that a mistake had been made. Such men as this ruler would help sustain Christ's cause. Judas thought that he personally could suggest many plans for the advantage of the little church. In these things, he thought himself wiser than Christ. Judas's last opportunity to repent. In all that Christ said to his disciples, there was something with which, in heart, Judas disagreed. Under his influence, the leaven of disaffection was doing its work. Jesus saw that Satan was opening up a channel through which to influence the other disciples. Yet Judas made no outward murmur until the feast in Simon's house. When Mary anointed the Savior's feet, Judas manifested his covetous disposition. At the reproof from Jesus, wounded pride and desire for revenge broke down the barriers. This will be the experience of everyone who persists in tampering with sin. But Judas was not yet wholly hardened. Even after he had twice pledged to betray the Savior, there was opportunity for repentance. At the Passover supper, Jesus tenderly included Judas in the ministry to the disciples. But the last appeal of love was unheeded. The feet that Jesus had washed went forth to the betrayer's work. Judas reasoned that if Jesus was to be crucified, the event must come to pass. His act would not change the result. If Jesus was not to die, it would only force him to deliver himself. He counted that he had made a sharp bargain in betraying his Lord. Judas did not, however, believe Christ would permit himself to be arrested. In betraying him, it was his purpose to teach him a lesson. He intended to make the Savior careful thenceforth to treat him with due respect. Often when the scribes and Pharisees had taken up stones to cast at him, he had made his escape. Since he had escaped so many snares, he certainly would not now allow himself to be taken. Judas decided to put the matter to the test. If Jesus really was the Messiah, the people would proclaim him king. Judas would have the credit of having placed the king on David's throne, and this would secure to him the first position, next to Christ, in the new kingdom. In the garden, Judas said to the leaders of the mob, "Hold him fast." Matthew 26, verse 48. He fully believed Christ would escape. Then, if they blamed him, he could say, "Did I not tell you to hold him fast?" In amazement, Judas saw the Savior suffer himself to be led away. At every movement, he looked for him to surprise his enemies by appearing before them as the Son of God. But as hour after hour went by, a terrible fear came to the traitor that he had sold his master to his death. As the trial drew to a close, Judas could endure his guilty conscience no longer. Suddenly, a hoarse voice rang through the hall. "He is innocent. Spare him, O Caiaphas!" The tall form of Judas was seen pressing through the startled throng. His face was pale, and sweat stood on his forehead. Rushing to the throne of judgment, he threw down before the high priest the pieces of silver that had been the price of his Lord's betrayal. Grasping the robe of Caiaphas, he implored him to release Jesus. Caiaphas angrily shook him off, but knew not what to say. The perfidy of the priests was revealed. They had bribed the disciple to betray his master. "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." But the high priest, regaining his self-possession, answered, "What is that to us? See thou to that." Matthew 27, verse 4. The priests had been willing to make Judas their tool, but they despised his baseness. Judas's agony of remorse. Judas now cast himself at the feet of Jesus, acknowledging him to be the Son of God and entreating him to deliver himself. The Savior knew that Judas felt no deep, heartbreaking grief that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God. Yet he spoke no word of condemnation. He looked pityingly upon Judas and said, "For this hour came I into the world." With amazement, the assembly beheld the forbearance of Christ toward his betrayer. This man was more than mortal. But why did he not free himself and triumph over his accusers? His entreaties in vain, Judas rushed from the hall, exclaiming, "It is too late! It is too late!" He felt he could not live to see Jesus crucified, and in despair went out and hanged himself. Later that day, the throng who were leading Jesus to the place of crucifixion saw the body of Judas at the foot of a lifeless tree. His weight had broken the cord by which he had hanged himself. Dogs were now devouring his mangled body. Retribution seemed already visiting those who were guilty of the blood of Jesus.